Welcome to the Beyond Writing Podcast, brought to you by Bright Little Light Press. I'm your host, Dacre Carey, and today we've got guest host Kay Rhodes with us.
Hello.
For this week's Beyond Writing Podcast, we're going to talk about conventions. BookCon is coming up this weekend in New York City, and there's been a lot of press around it, so this seemed like a great opportunity to talk about how to get the most from conventions for you as a writer. Kay is here because he's gone to a lot of conventions as a developer, so he has some good general convention knowledge to contribute. And I've gone to a bunch of conventions as a writer and now a publisher, so I'm speaking from that side. And also, I'm pretty conversant with the writing community, and I'll talk a little bit later about some of the stuff going on right now around BookCon. But first, we're going to dive into what you might hope to get from a convention as an aspiring author, and later in your career, what you might hope to get from a convention as a published author. We'll talk a little bit about different types of conventions. We'll give you some general convention notes and rules, sort of do's and don'ts. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the more controversial topics around conventions, like convention culture and whether or not it's worth going to a convention. So let's start with a brief foray into the different types of conventions. So when you're thinking about attending a convention, there are really a few different types that will have different types of events and may offer different things to you as an attendee. So there are fan conventions, and this might be things like you're a fan of a particular genre or a certain type of writing. Like, there are a lot of comic book conventions. If you're into gaming, there are gaming conventions. If you're into, like, horror, one of our friends recently went to a horror convention for horror writers and probably also other types of horror movies and things.
She's been to both types.
So these types of conventions give you a great opportunity to explore the things that you're a fan of, be it the genre or the specific medium of writing. And it's also a good opportunity to make connections with other people who are fans. And it can be a good opportunity to meet some of your favorite writers or producers in that particular area. Our friend who recently went to a convention had a chance encounter with George R.R. Martin, for example. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. Then if you are looking at more along the lines of career development and education, there are organizations that offer conventions for writers that are geared toward writing itself. So these types of conventions are more focused on education, and they'll give you information on things like character development, dialogue, world building, the actual craft of writing. And this is a great place to start if you're really early in your career and you want to work more on the fundamentals of creating a good story. Some writing conventions will also include information on pitching to agents and publishers, and some of the more career-oriented aspects of the writing process. So when you get into selling your book, or if you are self-publishing, marketing your book, those aspects may be covered in this type of convention. There are also publishing conventions, and those are really for publishers to talk about the publishing industry, what sort of technologies are available to publishers as technology changes, how publishing companies can deal with changing technology. It's a really interesting topic to me as a publisher now, but for you as a writer, this type of convention is probably not going to appeal to you. It's usually a little bit more expensive because it's aimed at a more corporate client, and the type of content is probably not going to be appealing to you. And we'll get a bit more into this a little bit later, but I just want to tell you, if you think you will go to a publishing convention as a writer to try to network with publishers, it's a bad idea. Don't go to that. Don't think you're going to do that. We'll talk about it more a little bit later when I talk about networking, but don't pick the wrong type of convention just because you think you want to make contact with someone there. And finally, this isn't exactly a convention per se, but there are places where you might go that offer things like book fairs or opportunities to exhibit. And this might be something that's useful to you when you're a little bit later in your career and you have physical books to sell, or you want to build brand awareness. Or if you're just a fan, it could be great to go to these types of places and check out new authors or go to signings of authors you like. So I think book fairs are different from conventions, but some of them, there's crossover sometimes. Some conventions offer, like, signing rooms and exhibit halls where you can have tables to sell your books. And then there are also probably a lot of local book fairs that you could attend that may offer some similar benefits to conventions. I think that a lot of this content is going to be geared toward fiction writers or people who are fiction writers are maybe more likely to think about going to these types of conventions. But if you are a nonfiction writer, the writing convention can still have a lot to offer you. There are conventions or sessions and tracks that deal specifically with nonfiction writing, including pitching your nonfiction to publishers, structuring it, what you might hope to do with your career with the aid of nonfiction publication. A lot of people who write nonfiction actually use it as a way to augment their career. Maybe consultants would write a book that they can then offer as part of their consultancy or to help establish them in the field. Maybe we'll cover this more in depth another time. But there's a lot you can gain, whether you're a fiction author or a nonfiction author, from conventions. Okay, so aspiring authors, the kinds of things you are going to want to get from conventions fall into three buckets. The first one is education and skill development. And this is probably the reason that most people go to conventions, but it may not end up being the most valuable thing you get from the convention. It really depends on the convention itself and the sorts of interactions and experiences you have there. So education and skill development in a convention will probably fall under a few different umbrellas. There's the something that's probably more useful for aspiring writers, which is learning about the skill of writing itself. So this can be things like classes about writing, things like dialogue to pacing to character development and world building, really the nuts and bolts of creating a good story that's going to compel readers. And if you are just starting out, or if you've maybe published one or two books but aren't having the traction you want, maybe you should consider going to these types of writing classes. It can be a great way to examine your writing more objectively. And sometimes I've been to sessions that are actually held by authors where they examine their own writing, and so you can see what works for an author and their writing. It depends on the type of session you attend. But definitely, if you're near the beginning of your career or you want to hone your writing skills, look for these types of conventions.
Yeah, I can totally see that being valuable because it's hard to have an external perspective on your own writing. And like my brain latched on to, you know, you talking about how to do dialogue right. And getting dialogue right is a really tricky thing. And having someone with real experience and doing this for a long time going like, hey, I try and think about this. I frequently make this mistake. Looking at dialogue from from their perspective would expect a dramatic effect on, you know, being able to go back and then analyze your own dialogue writing and go, hey, when looking through that lens, how does my stuff hold up?
Yeah, absolutely. It can be really helpful to see how people who are more established approach the process. You can get some great tips from that. And it can also give you a different perspective to go back and look at your own writing.
Yeah. I mean, even simple things like, you know, some books are so ridiculously dialogue heavy or like, you know, show, don't tell. And, you know, at the same time, some books are like, don't say enough and practically mute characters. And how do you find the right balance? And what do some more experienced people do for figuring that out?
Dialogue can also be very tricky if you get into dialect. If you have characters who speak a specific way that's not normal, like if they have accents or if they truncate their words.
Or more specifically, that isn't normal for the author.
Right. Well, or for the reader.
Yeah, that too. But I mean, it's so many authors, like new authors, and I mean, in terms of experience, writing and dealing with this, I've seen many attempts at, you know, giving this person a southern accent and like a southern drawl and writing it out, and it just comes out like a cliche stereotype that's insulting to southerners, and it's like, no.
Yeah, it's interesting that you should pick that example. There's a similar thing going on right now with one of our authors at Bright Little Light Press. Eva's working on a rewrite of a novella, or actually a novel, that she wrote like around a decade ago. And her writing skills have improved dramatically since then. So she's been going back through the original manuscript, and she's been talking about how things are completely different now, or things that seemed good at the time are crap now. And particularly, one of her characters is Irish, so she attempted to convey an Irish dialect in writing, and that did not always go smoothly. I think she's toning it way back in the rewrite. I'm looking forward to seeing what comes out of the process. But yeah, definitely, even if you're an experienced writer, if you've never been to this type of learning experience, you can certainly pick things up from this. There are good tracks on even like pacing is something that's really difficult for some authors to get right. And even just plugging plot holes or getting rid of unnecessary secondary characters, alternately adding interesting secondary characters to give more flavor. Like, there's a lot of things to think about from a craft perspective, and going to a convention can really immerse you in that and give you a lot of good perspectives. So another sort of track of education and skill development is around learning about marketing and selling yourself and your books. And a lot of times this includes things like selling your books to agents or selling your books to publishers. And this may include sessions like perfecting a pitch or drafting a good query letter or the first 5 pages. It's interesting because some agents and publishers will say, you know, I will give a writer 5 pages to really hook me. But others say, you have less than a page, and if your page is not gripping, then they're just going to toss it aside. From personal perspective, I went to a convention in the late 2000s, I think it was the 2008 maybe, where they had a session where 5 agents were at a table at the front of the room, and every author in the room put in a single page of their manuscript. And I think there were something like 60 or 100 authors in the session. So there were like 60 or 100 pages. And a person would go pick up the page, start reading it, and each of the agents would raise their hand when they would throw away the page and essentially put the manuscript aside. And it was actually really humbling as a writer to see this, because most of the agents would raise their hands and pass on a book after 1 to 2 sentences. Some of them would give 5 sentences, occasionally half a page. But that really quick look into what agents look for and think about, and sometimes they would talk about why they would pass on a particular thing, if they passed really quickly, or if there was something particularly egregious or that they saw often, they would speak up and say, oh, I didn't like this because the prose was too heavy, or it started out with really poor character description, or something was cliched, or it was just boring. A lot of times it was just boring. So yeah, these types of sessions can be really valuable to help you figure out how you can approach these people successfully and really succeed when you pitch your book to them. If you want to go through traditional publishing, this is invaluable. It can also be helpful for you if you are going to self-publish, because there are some things you might want to think about in the normal submitting to agents and publishers process that would still be helpful to you to think about as a self-publisher. Things about how other people will perceive your book, things like a really quick, clear pitch for your book. That's something you're going to need anyway, and that can help you later with your blurb. So definitely, those are useful tracks for aspiring writers. And finally, some conventions, but not all of them, will give you a track to learn more about self-publishing. So this would be things like building your author platform, developing a marketing plan, utilizing the various marketing platforms, alternative revenue streams like audiobooks, list building. These are really the nuts and bolts that go into the marketing your books after they're published perspective. This is sort of a tricky topic because a lot of the conventions that are put on by more traditional publishers or maybe some more traditional writing groups don't recognize the legitimacy of self-publishing, so may not include this type of learning track. So around the legitimacy of self-publishing, there is the Alliance of Independent Authors. It's abbreviated ALLI. It is an association for self-publishing authors. They actually put in their own fringe conferences around mainstream conferences. So there was one around the London Book Fair that happened in the spring, and they're also doing a fringe conference around BookCon this weekend. So if you're really interested in self-publishing, maybe look into some of those fringe conferences that are going on like at simultaneous to or on either end of these mainstream publishing conferences. And again, that's the Alliance of Independent Authors that puts on the fringe conferences, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. The second bucket of things that you're going to get from a convention is networking. And this may end up being the most important thing after the fact. You may go into a convention expecting the education part to be really useful, and I'm sure it will be, but the networking piece can be completely invaluable to you later. It can actually change your life. It can make a career for you. But the thing about networking is to go in and approach it realistically. There are some do's and don'ts.
I think one thing I'd say about this is that of the people that I've spoken with who have come away from conferences thinking that, like, this was the most spectacular conference ever. This was so worth it. And, like, I spent $5,000 and I traveled and I, you know, did the stuff. And, like, it doesn't matter what it cost or that they had to take their vacation time to do it. They come away going, oh, my God, this was awesome. And it's never because of the content. And, like, they may have seen really great talks that were very educational and, you know, from a practical standpoint did help them with the career. But what has really been valuable to these people has been the networking, has been – and not on a professional networking sense, just connecting with peers in your field who are smart and are enjoyable to talk with, and they form relationships that, you know, continue on for years, and these people get to see each other at other conferences, and you end up helping each other as a professional. You know, you follow each other online, you do all these things that are valuable, you know, emotionally and, you know, indirectly for your career, but are totally not the official value of the conference.
That is the perfect segue into the first point I was going to make. Connecting with other aspiring writers in these types of conferences is hugely valuable. Like Kay was saying, you can form relationships in these things that you will take with you for the rest of your life. It could be social relationships where you connect with each other on social media and share on Facebook or Twitter. Could be relationships where, you know, you commiserate with someone else about writing and have someone to talk with about writing and publishing and selling books. A lot of writers feel kind of isolated because the whole process is sitting by yourself somewhere producing content, and the people in your life, your friends and family, may be happy for you, but they don't understand the process really. So it's nice to have other people who are going through the same sort of thing to talk to. There are also people who could potentially be beta readers. Beta readers are really valuable in helping you spot holes in your story, places where you could tighten up the pacing, lose some dialogue, things that are going to positively impact your finished product. And it's a great way to find people who are interested in doing that. And a lot of times you can find people who will beta read for you if you beta read for them. So sort of like a quid pro quo.
Quid pro quo.
That word. Sort of like that. Or you can even possibly form writing groups with people. There are some people who go to conferences with the explicit intent of, I want to find people for a writing group. And you may mutually critique one another's work, get together regularly, and this can be a good way for some people to produce content, because if you know you've got a meeting coming up on Thursday and you're going to have to share 5 pages, I better get those 5 pages done. If this is something you have problems with, this type of thing can help you. The only thing I will say about this, and I don't want to poo-poo the idea of having these types of relationships with other aspiring writers, just take everything with a grain of salt. Keep in mind that these are also aspiring writers. You're all aspiring writers together. None of you is better than the others. There may be people who are more skilled in certain areas, and certainly their feedback should be valuable to you. You should never fundamentally change your work because of something someone else says, especially if you don't agree with it. So there can be a point when these things become unhelpful and can actually negatively impact your career. So it's just useful to keep in mind when you're forming these relationships. Great, awesome, yes, someone to commiserate with, someone to beta read for and beta read with. But if you're, especially in a group setting, this can become an issue. if the relationship starts to become toxic, don't be afraid to cut yourself off from it. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, you're probably going to get more out of these conferences if you don't go there with an agenda of accomplishing something like that. You know, sure, go with, like, the barest of agendas, such as, I want to meet interesting peers, you know, and work towards getting out of your shell and talking to those other humans. But if you go with more than that, like, it's, just don't do it. It's not right for so many reasons.
A couple more notes, though, about the types of things that can benefit you from these relationships. You can also share information about what techniques are working. Presumably, you're at a similar point in your career to a lot of the other attendees at these conferences. So as you start to get into publishing, maybe one of your friends from one of these conferences finds a cool tool that they can tell you about, or a certain marketing technique that's really working for them. Or maybe you've got some sort of inside track on list building, so you can share that with your friends. So this can be a great way to sort of collaborate with people who are at a similar point in their careers. And this can also lead to relationships where you can co-promote one another's writing. So something that has become more popular in the past couple years about growing your audience is authors getting together and co-promoting their works to their lists. So I think I spoke a few podcasts ago about Mark Dawson and another thriller writer getting together and offering novellas, and I think even the first books of their novels, in each of their series to the readers on each other's lists, because they both write in a similar genre, sort of like thrillers with a crime bent, I think. And so the readers of one list will probably enjoy the readers of the other list. The readers on one list will probably enjoy the books that the other author promotes. So say one of them had 5,000 readers and the other one had 3,000 readers. That's a way for them to sort of swap readers and grow their audience an extra several thousand readers in one fell swoop.
Just remember, writing is not a zero-sum game. Like, if someone else gets the reader, it doesn't mean no one else gets them. The more people read, the more people read. So
that's a really important point. Yeah.
There is no harm in promoting other authors' books. And if anything, it gives people a sense of what you find valuable and what they can expect out of your stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that's one thing that one of our other authors at Bright Little Light Press is doing. I think I've seen Renee promoting some of the books that she's been reading lately. So I know I saw a recommendation for a book that another indie author wrote that came out in the past few weeks. And I think there was a Robin Carr book in there somewhere. And so she is telling people, hey, there are these other books. And it's partially a way to give back to the community. And it's also partially a way to let your readers know, these are the types of things that I enjoy reading as a writer. So this might give you an idea of my tastes and the types of things I would produce.
And also from a purely crude business standpoint, it's an excuse to get in front of your readers that isn't going to annoy them. They're not going to be, oh, she went and recommended another good book to me. Oh,
that's true. You know? It's not a self-promotional thing per se, but it is a way to touch your readers.
Yeah, and then like one of the oldest tools of, you know, marketing is to get known within a community, not for your stuff, but to get known within the community for being a good member of the community. And, you know, readers are a community. We're pretty damn diverse in all the different things. And, you know, there's always the tighter knit groups of genres. But, you know, one of the great things that readers do for each other is recommend other books and tell them about good things they encountered and be a good member of that community. And no one's going to be upset with you for doing that.
That's very true. So we've gone on a tangent. Getting back to networking. Another type of networking that can be really valuable for you at these types of events is connecting with agents. This can happen in a variety of ways. There can be agent pitch sessions at some of these types of conferences. There can be specific networking opportunities like mixers with agents at these conferences. And there are also sometimes paid agent review slots. So you can pay an agent X amount of money to review a certain number of pages of your manuscript, and they'll give you like a written critique on it and even sit down with you and go over it, depending on the conference and stuff. So meeting an agent and getting an agent's feedback is sort of a holy grail for a lot of aspiring writers.
But, yeah, please don't go there hunting down an agent and forcing your book on them.
Unless you have a session that you've paid for or scheduled. So there's some do's and don'ts around connecting with agents. Do be respectful when you're speaking to an agent. If you have had a rejection letter from an agent, don't go to a convention and start ranting at the agent that you rejected my book. The writing community is smaller than you think. And if you get a bad reputation for being hard to work with or speaking negatively about agents or publishers in public, that can follow you around. That can be a problem.
Also, it's just not cool.
Yeah, I was like, also, it's not a good human being thing to do. Do not, ever, offer your manuscript unsolicited to an agent at this type of event. That is not cool. Don't go walking around with your paper copy. Don't go walking around with a USB drive that's got your book on it. Just don't expect to hand over your book to an agent, period.
Oh, well, I would walk around with a copy of my book on a USB drive. I just wouldn't expect anyone to ask for it. But in the unlikely circumstance, a USB drive is a small thing to carry and good to have.
Or you can just say, oh, you're interested? Let me get your email address and I'll follow up with you.
Yeah, that's probably better.
It's better because then you have their email address and you can follow up with them.
Yes, this is true. Wise woman.
That's part of why I'm doing this podcast. If you are going to pitch your book to an agent, do not spend more than 30 seconds doing it.
Elevator pitch.
This is a really good note for before you go to a convention. Prepare an elevator pitch. Tell them really quickly what your book is about, who you think it's going to appeal to, and what sets it apart from other books that are similar to it, and what books it is similar to. I know that sounds like a lot to cover in 30 seconds, but if you practice, you can get down.
Just Google the art of the elevator pitch. You will find many helpful things, and they're usually about products, but it really doesn't matter. It's the same thing.
Your book is a product. I know you don't want to think that. You want to be artistic, but if you want to sell your book is a product. Don't, by the way, give these pitches to agents unless they invite them. Don't walk up to an agent and start spewing your elevator pitch. These are people, and they want to connect with other people, and they know that everybody there is an aspiring writer who wants to pitch their book.
But it's like Twilight with were-crocodiles.
As intriguing as that might sound to someone, I think an agent would not appreciate someone, random person, walking up to them and saying, hey, I wrote a book and it's this and this that and it's blah, 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 blah. Like, just don't do that. Just don't.
I think the key point got buried there in that these are people. Like, some of the conferences I go to is, you know, I mentioned tend to be programming conferences, but programmers have their own rock stars. And, you know, there have been a number of times where I've met those rock stars and they're just geeks like me. And, you know, they don't want to be treated like a rock star. They don't want to be fawned over. They don't want any of that. They just want to have interesting conversations with fellow humans that are like them.
That is like you're reading my mind, because the next note I have is to talk about making connections based on common ground. Like exactly what Kay just said. These people are people. Everybody there is there because they're an aspiring writer, and the agents are probably expecting some of them to try to network with them. But if you can talk to them like a person and find some common ground, that's a great way to start building a relationship.
Like our friend in George R.R. Martin.
Yes, this is a great opportunity. Would you like to tell the story or should I?
Go for it.
Well, I think I heard about the secondhand, but one of our friends recently attended a conference and she was at some sort of after event. So she was just hanging out in a large group with a lot of people and just chatting with random people. And she started chatting with a random, very nice gentleman about deck furniture. I don't know if they were on a patio and there happened to be deck furniture at hand. I'm not quite clear on the context of this conversation. And sometime after this conversation ended, she sort of did a double take and was like, wait a minute, is that George R.R. Martin? It was. It totally was. She didn't even realize it while she was speaking to him. But it's important to note that if she had known, she probably would have had the exact same conversation.
Because she knows how to deal with people like that.
Exactly. Although Kate pointed out when we discussed this earlier, she might have said something snarky to him at first. Yeah, but like the point to think about is all of the people you are going to meet are just people. They may have had some measure of success, and that may have changed their life in some ways, but they're still regular people. They do regular things. They watch TV, they eat food, they go to the bathroom. They discuss deck chairs. They discuss deck chairs. I've seen a lot of authors who are pet owners, and they like to talk about their pets. I'm sure the authors that are parents like to talk about their kids. These are like anybody else who would be at your office. Maybe they have a little more money than you or more industry contacts than you do, but they're just people. So the note I was sort of going on was to make connections based on common ground. The flip side of that is don't force those things. Don't go researching an agent ahead of time and say, oh, that agent likes Jelly Bellies, and then go in and start talking to the agent about Jelly Bellies, because that's sort of creepy and disingenuous, and it will come off that way to anybody who's half good at reading people. So if your aim is to connect with agents, do look for sessions where agents are interacting with people. These might be pitch sessions or first page sessions like the one I mentioned earlier, or sessions where agents give advice to writers on how to pitch their work or how to talk to an agent. These sessions are hugely valuable, and they can potentially get you insight into what agents want from manuscripts. Most agents are very clear about telling people exactly what they want to see from an author. It really benefits the agent to do that, because then people who are submitting manuscripts to them will be able to say, this is what you want. This is the format you want to follow. Here's my summary. Here's this. The more informed you are when you pitch to an agent, the better your pitch can be for the agent, and the more quickly the agent can judge your pitch and pass or accept your offer. There is potentially a very long shot at FaceTime with an agent. You should not go in expecting this, but you should...
Or even trying for it.
You should be a little prepared if it does happen. So, as we said earlier, have your elevator pitch ready. Do you have a version of your manuscript that's ready to go to agents? Don't bring it with you. Don't hand it over. But when you go back to your hotel room or when you get back home from the conference, you should be ready to email it to an agent if you are invited to do so. So to the point of getting FaceTime with an agent, that agent session I mentioned earlier where people got to read the first page of their manuscript out loud, out of the 60 or 100 pages that got read during that session, an agent said regarding one manuscript that they would like to see more. So one author in that room of 100 got a request from an agent to see more of the manuscript.
From one of the five agents.
Exactly. So, yay for that author. That was awesome. And I'm sure everybody in that room wanted to be that author at that moment. I certainly did. But don't expect that. That is the exception, not the rule. But you should be prepared, if that does happen, to act on that.
Also keep in mind, different agents handle different genres, and just because you encounter one doesn't mean there's even a point in you trying to hassle them into taking your book. And you shouldn't anyways, but it's like, you know, hey, you're an agent. Oh, cool. What genre? Oh, that's nice. Anything interesting come across your desk? You know, like, you can talk to them like a normal person. You're going to go, oh, by the way, Twilight plus the crocodiles.
I understand the point you're trying to make. I understand the point you're trying to make, but don't ask an agent if anything interesting came across their desk. They can't talk to you about it, and that, no, just don't. There's so many things wrong with saying that to an agent.
Well, there you go.
Talk to an agent like a normal person, certainly. Maybe not about the agenting thing, though. Also, if you're not sure what an agent represents, like what their genre is or who is in their stable, probably not best to ask them that. Maybe write down their name and Google them later. It doesn't really come off great if you don't know who they are.
I don't know. Agents aren't typically... If I was an agent, I wouldn't expect me to know who I was. They're behind-the-scenes people.
No. You are so wrong about this.
Oh, come on.
I don't want to get into this right now, but Kay is very wrong for a variety of reasons. One being, A, you shouldn't walk up to an agent and ask them to list their resume to you because then it looks like you're shopping. So that's a bad idea.
Well, yes, absolutely.
But B, most agents expect you to do your homework before you contact them.
Well, yes, but you just encountered this person randomly. You wouldn't have been expected to do homework because you wouldn't know who you were going to meet at the conference.
Unless the person is a presenter, in which case you should darn sure do your homework.
Oh, sure. But I'm just talking about random meetings.
Most agents who are at conventions will not be having random meetings. Most agents who are at conventions will be there because they are presenting in a session or they're doing agent pitch sessions. And you as a writer will see that information when you're registering for a conference. And you should research all of the agents who are going to be there. Because if there's a chance you're going to come into contact with any of them, you should know what they represent, whether or not that's something that is going to help you, whether they're accepting new writers right now, who their other writers are, so you should learn a little bit about what they're writing. If you're at the stage in your career where you're ready to speak to agents, then you should look for agent pitch sessions or review sessions. These are often paid sessions where you give them X amount of money, anywhere from $250 to $1,000, to review a certain number of pages of your manuscript. Usually it's not your full manuscript, anywhere from 5 to 20 pages, and they can give you feedback. So it's a great way maybe to have the first 5 pages of your manuscript critiqued by an agent, because they say the first 5 is what they will look at. I can tell you from experience now that's not true, but that's what the common wisdom is.
Wait, which part isn't true?
Many agents will not bother to go all the way to 5 pages.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but this can be a really good chance for you to get a critique from someone who's inside the industry on your manuscript. But only if you're ready. If you do not have an entire manuscript ready, so if an agent were to like your stuff, which, by the way, don't expect this. Do not expect to go into one of the critique sessions and have the agent ask you for the entire manuscript at the end. If that happens, you are a very rare exception. It's not common. But if you're going into these pitch sessions, you should have a finished manuscript ready in the event that you are that very rare person and the agent wants to see more. It would be really crappy if you get in there and you have 20 pages and the agent says, "This is great, I really want to see the rest." And you say, "Sorry, I've only written 50 pages. It's not done yet." The agent may say, "Come to me in a year when you're finished writing it." Or, more likely, the agent is going to say, "Then what are you doing wasting everyone's time?" Nah, I doubt the agent would say that.
No.
But it's something that they'll think anyway. Most importantly, though, do not impose on these people. Do not come up to them after sessions, in line, in the bathroom, and try to pitch your book to them. If you encounter them in these settings... Are you picturing people pitching their book to an agent in the bathroom?
I am.
I saw it happen.
Oh. Oh, that's not cool.
No, it's not.
Feel bad for the agent.
Yes, you should. Yeah. The point I was making is these people are people, and they are here to enjoy the session. And if you encounter them in these settings, it is acceptable to have a polite conversation with them, but not one in which you are pitching your book. If you encounter them at a meal, you might say, "Oh, how's your food?" If you encounter them in the bathroom, you should probably do the normal thing and maybe smile and then look away.
"Oh, how's your pee?"
Yeah, don't do that. Although, if you are the next person in the stall and the agent's stall is out of toilet paper, maybe you could make that work for you. "Oh, you need me to hand you some toilet tissue? Yeah, let me pitch my book to you real quick."
Here, I'll write down the first 50 words on your sheet.
I'm not serious, by the way. If you guys think I mean that, don't think that. Finally, networking. You may go to a convention expecting to connect with publishers. There may be representatives of publishing companies present at some events. Oftentimes it will be people who would read the slush pile, and they're going to tell you similar sorts of things to what an agent would tell you about what you should include in your manuscript, how you can sort of shine the first several pages of your manuscript to make someone want to read more of it. But it may also be specific things about their requirements to submit, or even things about what they do in the publication process to give you, as an author, an idea of this sort of thing. So the same sort of rules apply when you're interacting with publishers at these types of events that apply to agents.
Bathrooms are off limits.
Bathrooms are off limits. Do not offer your manuscript to them unless they ask you. Do not spend more than 30 seconds pitching your book to them, and only if you are given permission to do so. Do look for sessions with the publisher, which can give you valuable insight into what the publisher is looking for, pitching tips that they might have to make your presentation more palatable to them. That can be a really valuable way to have these interactions. Finally, do not accost the publisher.
Publishers, especially not in the bathroom.
Or in the lunch line, or at coffee, or at an after-hours event. So it depends on who the publisher is within the organization. There may be people from within a publishing organization who have nothing to do with selecting book titles who are at conventions just to talk about the publishing process as a way to sort of spread word about the publication house or, you know, get paid for speaking at the event. These people may not have anything to do with selecting books. Thinking that you're going to accost them and magically get them to accept your book submission is completely unrealistic. And
rude.
Yes, and rude. And can give the publication company a negative impression of you as an author. That person will talk to their colleagues about the crazy person who accosted them in the bathroom. Do not be the topic of that conversation. And finally, you may go to a convention thinking you can connect with successful writers. So these are people who are further along in their career than you are, have probably already published a book or many books, maybe a big name in your genre. So you could go to a convention where George R.R. Martin is going to be speaking and think, oh, I'll connect with GRRM. There may be specific sessions, like meet the author sessions, where you have a chance to walk up to a person, say something to them, maybe get them to sign a book. That's fine. You may encounter these people after hours. If so, all the things we've said already about treating them like a normal person apply. Treat them like a normal person. There are a few do's and don'ts, though, about encountering these people. Do not pitch your work to these writers. Don't do it. Some writers, their agents actually tell them, for legal reasons, to not let other writers talk to them about their work. One of the reasons for this that's sort of a common myth in the industry is that if an aspiring writer talks to a successful writer about a book idea, and then later the successful writer publishes a book that has anything remotely resembling that book idea in it,
You stole my story!
Exactly. Litigation ensues. I don't know if this has ever actually happened or if this is just a myth in the industry. I've heard it as a myth in the industry a lot, but I've never actually looked into whether there's legal precedent for it.
Probably is. We're in America. People are so happy.
And they're very litigious. Americans are so litigious. But the point is, even if there's not a legal reason for it, certainly that's a consideration for them. More importantly, though, these people are here to have fun. They're here to interact with their fans. They're here to interact with other writers or even learn something from some of the sessions.
Yeah, of course. I mean, external, back to what I was saying about the dialogue stuff, like, just because you're a really experienced person doesn't mean other experienced people don't have anything to teach you.
Yep. So these people are not here to listen to you pitch your book to them. As a writer and as a publisher myself, I can tell you, we do not want to hear unsolicited pitches. If you have a nifty book idea, Or if you've written a really cool book, there are avenues to reach out. Bright Little Light Press, we are not currently accepting submissions because we are a small indie press and we just don't have the bandwidth beyond the books that are currently on our schedule for the rest of 2017 and early 2018. If there becomes a point when we start accepting submissions, I will certainly advertise that to the world. But until that point, we don't want submissions. And for me as a writer, I have often had other aspiring writers speak to me about wanting me to read their work. I don't mean this to be insulting. I have a lot going on in my life. I am working on various projects, and I also like to have downtime. I don't have a lot of time to spend on other people's stuff.
Especially not read it and critique it and give the feedback that they want. It's like, you know, it's fine if you do have time to do that and you're looking to do that, but a lot of time most people are like, hey, actually, I'm busy.
Yeah. Like, you know, I won't get into my day, but let me just tell you, there are very few hours in the day that I spend doing anything other than work. And to spend the amount of time it would take to read another author's work and critique it properly is not something I have time to do, and it's not something most writers have time to do or an interest in doing.
Right. And when you read, it's like because you're so burnt out from working, you need the escapism of reading and want to take a break and just enjoy yourself.
Yeah, and I may not even want to read whatever people are trying to offer. Like, I just today, one of my friends recommended a new author's book to me. And as a small indie publisher, I totally understand the value of supporting new authors. Every book sale when you're a new author starting out really matters, and getting reviews can be very difficult for new authors. So as a small indie bookseller, or book publisher and seller, I guess, I really want to support people. But from a time perspective, there's only so much of me to go around. So I have to be particular about how I spend it. And I'm not alone in that. Most writers, I would go so far as to say 99% of writers who are actually pursuing writing as a career just don't have time to read aspiring writers' work. The best thing you can do for yourself if you want an experienced writer to read your work, hire an editor. That's what they're there for.
Not only that, they'll give you a level of critique that, you know, like serious level, not just what another writer will give you.
If you are serious about pursuing a writing career, I know the cost of hiring an editor can seem daunting for a lot of people, but that's the best money you can spend because those people are going to give you invaluable feedback about your manuscript.
Plus, you should be planning on hiring one anyways.
That's true. But maybe a different type of editor. Well, let's not get into the nitty-gritty. Anyway, I didn't mean to spend this long on it, but my point was, if you go to a convention, there will be opportunities to network with successful writers. Just use them well. Don't try to pitch your stuff to them. Don't accost them. If you love their stuff, tell them that, but not for a 20-minute conversation. Have like three sentences about, I really liked this particular thing that you wrote. I thought that the characters were great, or I really enjoyed the world building, but then go on to something else.
Yeah. And something that we were talking about earlier was, you know, one thing that, you know, if I encountered some of my favorite authors, I'd be, you know, like, hey, what, you know, this character in this scene, like, what were you thinking when you wrote that? Or, did this really mean this? Like, you can ask them stuff, like, that they're familiar with. Like, if you're, what the hell do I talk to this person about? Well, you're a fan of their books, and you're a writer, so you're thinking about the writerly aspects of this stuff. Like, that is one thing that you can talk about and is entertaining probably for both of you. And, you know, in some cases, the author is going to be like, oh, I never thought of that. Or, no, I didn't think that at all. Or
on the flip side of that, though, don't try to be too clever and come up with,
oh, dear God, no.
This amazing thing to talk to a writer about.
Lawn chairs. Or deck chairs, whatever.
Yeah, basically just talk to them like normal people. That's the networking rule for everybody you're going to encounter at a convention. Talk to them like normal people. We're all normal people. If you encounter authors at a signing session, then sure, bring something along for them to sign. Or buy their book for them to sign.
But don't expect them to have time for a conversation with you.
Exactly. Don't ask them to sign random stuff while you're out and about during the con, either. So if you happen to see a writer who you recognize in the hallway, don't stop them and be like, hey, will you sign my book? That is for signing sessions. Finally, if you see an author that you recognize who appears to be going from one point to another point, don't interrupt them. Let them get where they're going. A lot of times, authors are attending multiple sessions or panels, so getting from one part of the convention center to the other part of the convention center takes time. And if every person who recognized them stopped them, even to just say, hey, I recognize you, I really like your work, they're never going to get where they're going. So if you want to have conversations with these people, look for them in settings that are meant to facilitate that. So find them when they're just hanging out, or if they're in a panel and the panel ends and it doesn't look like they're rushing off somewhere else, maybe talk to them then.
Although I would note that at most conferences, one of the recurring problems is the speakers not leaving the room, because people come up to talk to them about their interesting thing, which is great, but then the next speakers can't get in the room. So
yeah, maybe outside of the room.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just be mindful of what these people might be doing while they're there and whether they may be trying to get somewhere else, and try not to interrupt them from that. Finally, the other thing that you might expect to get from a conference as an aspiring author is post-session hanging out. So if you've never been to a con, you might not know this, but a lot of people go to conferences exclusively for the post-session hangouts.
Yep. Hallway conferences, meeting people. Yeah.
They're especially for things like gaming conventions. I know stuff like Gen Con and PAX. All of the after hours hanging out is crazy. People will be out like up 24 hours a day, hallways, overflowing, hotel rooms. There are even a lot of facilitated events sometimes after hours, depending on the conference.
Even the nerdy, geeky conferences, there's frequently staying up quite late, going to bars. If only I drank, I would have so much more networking.
So yeah, be prepared for this type of thing. And a lot of people really look forward to this, and this can be a great chance to build those relationships that you start. So say you meet a really interesting person at a conference, and then you find out they're going to be coming to the same conference again the next year. If you go to the same conference again the next year, you can meet up after hours and have dinner or drinks and chat about what's going on.
Yeah, and I know a number of authors in the technical fields who've made relationships during these conferences, and years later they find that, you know, the person they've been friends with because of this conference is writing a book, and oh, I could really use some help on this book. And then they end up being a co-author of the book, and then later on they're writing a book and then they need help, and one of the other people they've met. Like, this happens all the time because you meet good peers that you like talking with and have interesting conversations with, and oh, who am I gonna call when I need help, you know?
That's true. And as I was saying earlier, as writers, a lot of our work is so solitary, it can be very difficult to network with other writers. Writing conferences is one great way to do that. If you don't have a local writing group or some sort of meetup, this can be a great way to start forming those relationships. So prepare for after hours hanging out. Decide if that's something you're interested in or not. Try to research the con to see what sorts of things may be happening after hours. Some cons have Facebook pages or online forums where people can coordinate after-hours hangout events. So look for that type of thing online to see if there are formal plans, or to see if people are talking about informal plans, like, oh, we're going to go meet up at Betty's room and we're going to chat about, I don't know.
But, you know, don't hesitate to put yourself out there. And, you know, if people are engaging with you and you're having an interesting conversation, you know, it's okay to ask, you know, hey, you want to go get drinks? Hey, you want to hang out afterwards?
Yeah, keep in mind that everybody who's attending these conferences is there for the same reason. You're there with hundreds or maybe thousands of other aspiring writers who are at the same or similar point in their career, and we all want to talk about our work. So keep in mind that some people who attend these conferences live for the after-hours events and totally plan to be out really late and maybe not even care so much about the classroom sessions during the day. Think about whether that's something you want to do or how much time you want to spend hanging out afterward. And particularly if you've never been to a con before, keep in mind that these long days are going to be really tiring. So you may think the idea of hanging out afterward is awesome, but you may not have the energy when the time comes, or you may have to cut it short. So look for the types of events after hours that you might want to attend, but try not to overcommit, especially if you don't know how your stamina is going to be at one of these types of events.
That reminds me of when, if you haven't gone to a conference before, don't go there and expect to kind of figure out what panels you're going to see, unless it's a single-track conference, but most of them aren't. Most of them have multiple tracks and parallel speaking, and it's like, plan it out in advance who you're going to go see, and yeah, be flexible to change it at a time, but otherwise, you're inevitably going to miss something, or you're like, what's next? There's these four. I'll go to that one. And you not realize that you missed the third one that was actually really awesome and you would have loved to be at. Like, plan it out before you get there, or at the very least the night before. And, you know, you're going to have a much better time with these panels while you're there.
Okay, so that was what you as an aspiring author might expect to encounter or hope for from a conference. If you are a published author, what do you hope to get from a convention?
Same thing.
I have no idea how many of the people who listen to this podcast are published and want to learn more about publishing. And I think most people are probably aspiring writers. But maybe this is something to keep in mind as you progress in your career later down the road, what you think you might get from conferences. So once you're published, there are a few things that you might not have had access to before you were published. And that includes things like an opportunity to market your books. So when you go to a conference as a published author, setting this up well ahead of time, you might have the opportunity to do signings or to get a booth in an exhibit hall and actually sell your books, to have author meetup sessions, things that can help you get in the hands of readers or interact with readers in a meaningful way, or even just a quick way. Keep in mind, though, that there may be a cost for doing this. You may have to rent a booth, for example, in an exhibit hall, and the application process is usually way before the convention. So by the time the convention is getting close, the application process has been closed for a long time. So make a list of the big conventions that you'd like to attend as a published author, and find out when you need to apply and how much it is and what types of things you can do to increase your chances of being selected. For example, if you want to do a signing, I know that a lot of signings only have a limited number of spaces available, and a lot of authors want to get in there and do those signings. So if there are things you can do to increase your chances of getting in, maybe if you do local book signings and you can say, oh yeah, I have this many attendees here and this many attendees when I did a signing there, or if you want to do a reading, or if you can point to the number of followers you have on social media who are going to be at the conference, like, there's a lot of things you can do to increase your chance of being selected. Do those things.
Yeah, because the conference is not going to want to give up the time for a signing for someone that no one has ever heard of. They want it to be, you know, as entertaining for the people attending the conference as possible.
Exactly. As a published author, you can still potentially have these network opportunities with agents and publishers. So, for example, if you are a self-publishing author, but you may want to get into traditional publishing, you can have these agent meetups and these publisher meetups at these events. You may have a little more cred if you're published, because then you will have books to point to. But it's important to keep in mind that a lot of agents and traditional publishers are still sort of looking down their noses at indie publishers. So you really need data to back up your publication claims. And don't assume that just because you have books under your belt, these people will be more interested in you than an aspiring author.
Numbers.
Numbers are good. If you do have those numbers, though, it can make you more attractive to agents and publishers than an aspiring author. So there is that flip side. A lot of published authors are focusing more on the marketing and sales aspects of the learning track. So the types of things that you are going to find useful at that point in your career are probably going to be more oriented toward building readership, reaching more people with your books, the marketability stuff. And you may also want to look at new tools or better utilizing existing tools. So it's more about growing your reach than it is about honing the craft. And like Kay was saying, you should never assume that you can't learn something new from another person who is also a skilled writer, but just focus more of your efforts on the business side once you're a little bit further in your career, unless there's something really compelling in a session that speaks to you. And keep in mind that as a published author attending one of these conventions, the content is typically oriented toward aspiring writers. So once you get a little further in your career, the content is likely going to be below your level. It's really helpful to know what the course is going to be about before you pick sessions, but it may not be a good place for you unless you go to a specific con that is oriented toward published authors. One thing that will be available to you as you are a published author is to speak at a convention. So this can be a great way to grow awareness of you as an author, and you may be able to get paid depending on the convention. So, yay.
And depending on your numbers.
But you do need to have something to speak about. Ideally, that should be success, something that you are able to offer other aspiring writers. But it could also be failure. You could be talking about, you know, how to deal with the rejection after rejection, or the emotional isolation of being an author. There are things that are not necessarily requiring you to be successful. But like Kay was saying, numbers matter. So if you don't have a good readership, or if you're not well known, you're not going to have as high a chance of being selected by the convention presenters to present there.
I mean, it depends a lot on the topic too. For example, you know, a friend of mine's been talking at some conferences recently. He's a programmer, but he's talking about the emotional aspects of being a human. And he's doing it in a programmer's context. And he's done a ton of, you know, research into the specific psychological area. And so he's made something relevant to a group that wouldn't normally be listening to it. And the conference speakers are actually, you know, really happy to have him. And the reception has been great. So don't feel that if you're not a, you know, author with, you know, thousands of sales, you don't have anything to offer. You know, you are quite likely an expert in something, even if you haven't been writing very long. There's probably something else that you're an expert in that might be relevant to the crowd at that conference. And the conference presenters might, the people putting on the conference might be interested in having you talk about that.
Yeah. It could be something even like work-life balance. How do you balance having a regular family life with your writing career? Or the importance of being physically fit on a writing career. I know a lot of writers tend to be sedentary, myself included, and physical fitness is really important to keeping both the mind and the body healthy. So it's something we sort of neglect. So speaking around that might be helpful. Or even something like the caffeine impact on productivity and creativity, and or using beverages to increase your creativity, such as caffeine and wine. Some of the great authors of history used alcohol to produce some of their most well-known works.
Becoming an alcoholic for greatness.
So, yeah, there are a lot of things you could speak about at a convention that are not directly related to being a successful writer, but it could be something for you to do to further your career, or at least to reach more people and build awareness of you as a writer. So yeah, if you're able to do this, you can get paid. You could get the cost of the con waived, so you don't have to pay money to attend the conference. And or you may get lodging or a food and beverage stipend, maybe for some of it, or maybe for all of it, if you're a really well-known publisher, or author rather, and they really want you to speak there.
More likely, you'll just get a discount on your ticket.
I don't know. It depends on the conference. A lot of cons will waive conference attendance fees for speakers.
Yeah.
But only try this if you actually have a session that you can give.
And that you actually are an expert on.
Yeah. If you are not an expert or if you don't have something really good prepared, they will see through that during the application process.
And the people will talk negatively about it and they will never invite you to speak again.
And it could negatively impact your career if you don't, and you show up and it's a horrible session and people will talk about it online, because people will talk about everything online. Yeah, you should know this. People are much more likely to talk about negative things than positive things.
Yeah. Although we're making this sound like, oh my God, terrible, never speak. There are so many people who have so many good things to talk about, and they're like, oh, I couldn't get up in there to speak. I'm not good enough. And it's like, most of the time, actually, no, you know a lot about this thing. You could totally get up and talk about it. And they think, so many people think you need, oh, I need all this. I need, like, no, you just need to be knowledgeable and articulate about the topic you have to speak on.
Yeah, so I just thought of a good example for that. Maybe your writing career is still relatively new, but maybe your background is in marketing and you are a Facebook marketing guru. Facebook marketing is something a lot of people have a difficult time cracking. So if you could give a good session on Facebook marketing, that would be awesome. Or if you are very familiar with tools that authors might be able to use, like if you know a piece of software really well, giving a session on that could be really awesome. There are a lot of things you can talk about and be an expert in without being a successful writer.
Maybe you're a terrible writer, but you've really figured out how to make Scrivener shine.
Oh, Scrivener. So another thing as a published author that you will get from a convention is networking. We touched on agents and publishers. You have the same opportunities as an aspiring author of networking with these people, but maybe a little bit more cred. It depends on what numbers you have to bring with you. More importantly, though, you could network with other successful writers. So if you've been listening to the podcast, you may have gotten the impression by now that there are a lot of people who want to write and not very many people who are successful at doing it. And there are a variety of reasons for this, mostly because people who want to write are not that great about following through for whatever reason, so they never actually put their work out into the world. So when you go to a con, you will probably encounter hundreds of other writers, if not low thousands, depending on the size of the con. And maybe, I don't know, I don't have solid numbers on this, but maybe 5 to 15% of those people will actually produce books. Rest of the people who are going there are just dreamers. So once you become a successful published author, even if you're only moderately successful, the opportunity to get access to other successful published authors is really valuable. These are other people who are at a similar stage in their career, or maybe even ahead of you, and can have good insight to offer you.
Yeah, you can topic shop with your peers.
Exactly. So there are a lot of conventions will offer special networking opportunities for successful writers, if like a writing convention specifically. For example, the Romance Writers of America have a convention in Florida. But one of the things that the Romance Writers of America offer is some special sessions for their PAN members, which stands for Published Authors Network. So that is a subset of the members of the Romance Writers of America, and those are people who have earned X amount of money in their publishing careers. So they're not just people who want to publish, they're people who have published and have earned a certain amount of money doing it. So these people have qualified at a higher level in their careers, and these networking opportunities are restricted to just those people. So you're interacting exclusively with other successful writers.
Yeah, and it's in that case, I don't remember what the number was, but it wasn't a crazy number. It was basically enough to prove that, like, A, you're actually serious about this and doing this professionally.
And the opportunity is there for you to trade tips, trade contacts, talk shop about writing or tools or really good services that you've encountered. It's a really good way to sort of talk business with other people. And you can meet cool people. So I want to touch on some general convention notes and rules and sort of do's and don'ts. This is more useful for people who have never been to conventions, but even if you have been to conventions, it's good to keep these things in mind. Do not try to initiate physical contact unless the other party invites it.
I don't think this should be something anyone has to tell anyone else.
This goes for agents and publishers, but especially authors. There are reasons for this, okay? Even a handshake can pass con crud. Con crud is a real thing. A lot of people who go to conferences get sick at the conference or shortly after. Usually it's something like flu-like symptoms or a cold. It could be from flying on the plane or from being in proximity to a lot of people. If you shake hands a lot, you're passing those germs. So there are some authors who literally will not touch anybody else. And if you try to reach out even to handshake them, they will put their hands away and it's really awkward. It makes them look bad. It makes you feel awkward trying to shake their hand when they pull their hands away. It's just not a good situation to be in. And there are people who try to hug authors. It's probably not a good idea to try to hug people you've never met before. Just saying. It sort of oversteps some people's personal boundaries. And finally, there are just people who don't like to be touched by strangers.
Keep in mind, a lot of these are authors, and most of them work alone in a room by themselves, and many of them tend to be, you know, introverts, not extroverts. So, yeah.
So if these people initiate physical contact, like if an author reaches out to shake your hand, then sure, shake their hand. That's awesome. But don't go running up to someone and start touching them in any way.
Oh my God, I loved your shiny crocodiles.
Also, the darker side of a con, some authors get negative contact and or threats before a con. So if you start to invade an author's space and that author has received threats before the con, that author is going to be on high alert. It is going to make the con experience very negative for that author and may get you tackled by security guards who are following that author around. So just don't be unnecessarily physical with anybody you meet at a con unless they invite physical interaction. Next, do not plan to attend every single session.
You can't do it.
Resist the temptation to book yourself solid. This is something that's really a problem for people who are attending a con for the first time, or for people who are attending a con that costs them a lot of money because they feel like they need to get their money's worth.
Yeah, I totally bailed on a couple sessions at the last con because I just needed to pause and, you know, suck up a little bit of relaxation while standing around and nibbling on some snacks, and I had some great conversations while I was doing it, but
your brain will not absorb all that info. Most con sessions, well, most days of cons last for 8 to 10 hours, or maybe even 12 hours in some cases. Your brain will not sit still for that long.
Also, take good notes, because you're going to forget stuff because you will be so overloaded and tired and your brain will start to melt. And if you have good notes, then when you get back home, you'll actually be able to remember the thing you paid so much for.
Exactly. And so when you're giving yourself breaks, do build these into your schedule, by the way. When you skip a session, try going to a low-key hangout. Like if there are rooms where people are set aside to just sit there and network and chat, or go sit by yourself and look at your phone, or read a book, or look at the notes you took from the last few sessions, or look at the upcoming sessions and think about the things you want to focus on.
I usually make a point of looking through the schedule for time slots where there's usually always something mildly interesting, but sometimes it's only mildly interesting, or sometimes that one time slot just doesn't have anything you want, and like, plan that out in advance. Go, hey, this is a time when I can just totally bail and it's cool and I won't miss anything big.
And be prepared to give your brain downtime. So don't just stare at other con stuff if your brain is really rebelling. Like, play Candy Crush on your phone or whatever you need to do to like give yourself some mental downtime. You will go into the next session much fresher and you'll last for the rest of the day that way.
And snacks are good.
Snacks are good. If you are a caffeine person, coffee and tea are good. Like, whatever you need to do to get you through. But definitely, don't book yourself solid. Do plan which sessions you're going to attend ahead of time. Review the session offerings. Review who's going to be there that you might want to see or meet. Set a goal for yourself for what you want to achieve with the convention and pick sessions that are geared toward that. Depending on how the convention is organized, they may offer you specific tracks. So there may be a set of tracks that are oriented toward improving your plot or toward marketing yourself to agents and publishers. These are going to all be sessions that are oriented toward that specific type of content. So pick a track that is in line with your goal, or if there is not a formal track, just pick sessions that match up with what you hope to achieve from that conference.
I'd also say there's a lot of people are tempted to go to a conference and go, oh, I'm doing this for, you know, my career or for my business or whatever, and I got to find the sessions that are most valuable to the business and, you know, what you're doing. And there will be sessions like that, but there will also be some sessions that are just like something cool to you that may never directly impact your career or make your life better. Have fun. Go to those too. Like, you know, yeah. Be a professional. Be improving your career. But at the same time, have some fun for yourself. There's some big, cool stuff that's going to be talked about.
Again, Kay is reading my mind. My next point was about picking sessions that are fun for you. Maybe they're being presented by a certain presenter who you're really interested in. Maybe it's an author whose career you admire or an agent in your genre or publisher. Maybe it's a fun session about something really cool that you just want to attend. Just definitely don't make it all work and no play.
Makes Jack a dull boy.
I'm having a shining flashback. Do not go into a con thinking that you're going to sell books unless you have a signing scheduled or you're an exhibitor. Do not carry around physical copies of your books preparing to hand them out to people or hoping to sell them. Definitely don't set up a table or even a box of them somewhere unauthorized and try to peddle them.
Do people do this?
That can get you kicked out of a con. Don't do it. You're not there to sell your books unless you have specifically signed up to be an exhibitor or go to a signing. Register as early as possible so that you can get a room at the convention rate in the convention block and that you can get in through the conference.
This is also good just because if you're in the there's a lot of value to being in the conference hotel because then there's, you know, you are in close physical proximity to all these other people and more opportunities for having conversations with them. Like, you may actually get a better deal at an Airbnb a few blocks away, but you're not going to be roaming the halls with your conference attendee, fellow people. I don't forget the word.
Also, at the end of those long days, even a few blocks is kind of a long way to travel. It's really convenient to be directly on site and just have to walk like across the convention center to your hotel room. Keep in mind that the cost of a con may be tax deductible. So if you are working on building yourself a career as a writer, especially if you actually have income coming in so you can show that you're really a writer, you can deduct the cost of attending this conference as an educational expense on your taxes. Yay!
Hooray!
So this can help you offset the cost. So I'm going to briefly touch on something that's kind of a prickly subject around cons, and that is the politics of a con and behaving well. So, A, politics in general, probably not a good idea to approach that topic at a con. Even if you're having an after-hours hangout, saying things unguardedly can spread. It can really hurt your reputation. If you hold an unpopular political opinion, people will talk about that later, especially if you're a successful writer. If you're a nobody author aspiring person, maybe people won't remember you said this thing. But if you are anybody who is remotely successful or who has any brand of name recognition, people will remember the things you say, and they can use those against you.
And it's not just unpopular political opinions. It's like you don't know the background of the people you're around. You're around strangers. You're making new friends. Like, you don't know what their history is, and you don't really know what, you know, is an obnoxious comment around them. Like,
Yeah. What may be a popular political opinion may not be welcome in the setting.
Yeah. Going to an LGBT conference and talking about Trump. Probably not a good idea.
And this is more true around sort of politically correct or inclusive types of topics. If you have strong opinions about LGBT rights or... I really don't want to get into this very deeply. If you have strong opinions about things that can be polarizing or...
Yeah, just don't go there. You don't need to go there. You know, you can go there with your friends and you can go there with the people that you hang out with normally. But, you know, you don't need to bring that up at a conference. Just hang out, talk with interesting people about, you know, talk shop, talk about, you know, things in your industry. There's lots to talk about without going down those roads.
If other people start to talk about those things, try to extract yourself from the conversation, because while you may be having a one-on-one conversation with someone, there may be five other people like 2 feet away who are listening to you and you don't know who any of them are. Maybe they're nobody. Maybe they're somebody who's going to listen to what you're saying and tweet about it. Maybe that person has 50,000 followers and then suddenly what you said and what you thought was a one-on-one conversation is all over the internet and is getting you in crap loads of trouble. So just try to avoid those sorts of topics in general when you're at a con. I also have to touch on a note about personal safety and inclusiveness at cons. So there has been a lot more awareness around inclusiveness at cons, probably in the past 5 to 10 years.
And the cons code of conduct.
Yes, the code of conduct is becoming a huge thing. There has been a lot of public outcry against cons that don't have a well-posted code of conduct that also includes provisions for enforcing it. I don't want to get into specifics again, but if you are at all familiar with various conferences, you probably have some idea of things I'm talking about. It's just good to note that more and more cons nowadays are striving to be inclusive to everybody, and you should familiarize yourself with the con's code of conduct and decide if the culture of the con is something that you want to participate in. So if it is a very inclusive con and you like that, by all means, go have fun. If it is a less inclusive con, but you want something that's more inclusive, maybe talk to the con organizers about how they can make it more inclusive.
Yeah, definitely talk to the con organizers in general. Like, people forget that those are people, too, that you can talk to. And you say, hey, you know, I'm not going to be attending your conference this year. I really wanted to, but here's why I won't be. Or I am attending your conference because you paid special attention to this thing that's important to me. Like, give them that feedback.
Yeah. Or you could initiate a public dialogue about it, but don't go to a con whose culture is going to upset you or whose culture you do not want to participate in. There's also a note about personal safety, particularly if you become more successful in your career. So again, I don't want to get into this too deeply. There's been sort of a kerfuffle around BookCon this weekend where a very... beloved and successful author got a threat from someone on Twitter about attending the con this weekend. And the person later claimed, oh, it was a joke, everything is being taken out of proportion, and people on both sides of the issue have gotten completely up in arms. But the reality is, nowadays, things are more public than ever with the internet. The whereabouts of successful authors are often known ahead of time when they say, I'm going to attend X event, I'm going to be doing a signing here. And people who intend to harm these people can take advantage of that. So as you become a more successful author, just keep in mind that your personal safety is something you need to make efforts to safeguard. And if you get threats on Twitter or via email or any other venue, definitely let the con organizers know that and talk to them about how that's going to be addressed. And probably you should also be talking to the police. Don't just laugh it off. Don't say it's a teenager who's like making a threat out of hand, or I get these kind of threats all the time. It is a shared space. There's only a certain amount of precautions that can be taken at those spaces. So it's important for everybody to be on the same page about what could possibly happen and really just be aware of it. Finally, is there a point at which going to cons becomes a waste of time? So if you have gotten further in your career, or even if you are an aspiring author, but you've already been to like 20 cons, for the past 10 years you've been going to 2 cons a year, maybe going to cons is not the best use of your time and money anymore. There certainly can be times when the content of the con is too elementary for you, or you've already covered it, and the networking opportunities presented by the con are just not compelling enough to justify the cost and the time associated with attending. For the most part, you can get a lot of value out of cons throughout your career, but there certainly may be times when it's not in your best interest to go. So don't feel like you have to go because you've gone forever, or it's what writers do, or you'll be missing out on great opportunities. If it's not something you're interested in doing, or if there aren't sessions you want to attend, don't go. There are better ways you could use that time and money. By writing, paying for book covers, paying for editors. There will be no shortage of things you can spend money on throughout your career. On the flip side of that, even if you have been attending cons forever, you aren't going to learn anything new from a con, some people are just really inspired and energized by the atmosphere of attending a con. There's like this really hopeful buzz that goes through a lot of people when they attend a con, or there may be like a lot of contacts that you've made at cons over the years and you really want to go to see those contacts. So if that is your purpose in going to a con, it doesn't matter so much if you've already learned all of the educational aspects. If you're going to drive that value, then definitely keep going. Yeah, I think that's it. I think we've talked a lot about cons. Do you have any other general notes you would add, Kay?
Go. Have fun. Be nice. Treat other people like other people.
I think that pretty much summarizes this very lengthy podcast. On that note, thanks for listening. And if you have any feedback or ideas for upcoming podcasts, hit us up on Twitter at BLLPress or through our website at brightlittlelight.press or Facebook, which is also BLLPress. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye, listeners.
Bye.